So it's part of my heart and my passion and my love. So I would like to share with you the miracle of missions. And before I do, I just say that just being with you here, church, and seeing all of who we are, all the different countries that we come from, you know, this is a very rare type of church. There's many kinds of churches, and I'm not saying that there's something wrong in their style, but for us, God has given us an amazing opportunity to blend countries together, from Canadian to Guyana to Jamaica to Uganda to Nigeria to Trinidad to all sorts of areas of the world. What an amazing opportunity God has given us. Because there with that comes an ability to learn how to grow and develop together and understand who we are in our various cultures, but how we love Jesus. What a privilege. We are a mission field in our church.
Amen.
And many have come who are from different countries, who are just brand new to our country, and they feel comfortable here. Why? Because they sense that we have an understanding that we come from different backgrounds and different circumstances, but love Jesus and want to be together. So, missions is one of the greatest miracles that can happen in Christianity. And when we were worshiping, I was amazed by the presence of Christ. And I thought, why are you so strong in our worship today, Lord? And it was, you could sense his holiness. And Ross expressed it very clearly, is that Jesus came on a mission. Sometimes we seem to think that it's for somebody else out there in the world, but it isn't. It's for us, as though we are following the Savior, the lover of our soul, who showed us he came to us, to a people he would never normally have ever touched our lives. He came to us. And that is a mission. It is caring about others, Christ's love, with God's greatness, with people that you would never normally connect. We all have our circles of people that we would be involved in, and situations and circumstances, and different people that we are employed with, that we have our circles. But missions is when you step out of that normal circle and you step into a different circle. Because you love Jesus, and God's love is so great within you that you want to see something happen within people's lives that you would normally never be able to touch. And that is missions. And when we look at our global crises, we look at the various situations and economic and natural disasters and terrorist attacks, and we begin to wonder, what could we possibly do? And let's face it, church, we all face difficult struggles in our lives, and we feel the pressure of life greater and greater in Canada to just survive. And you wonder, how can I step out of my normal circle of life into somebody else's when I feel such pressure? And when you look at all the things that are going on, you think, how could I possibly make a difference? One miracle is greater than none. If you want to change the world, the first thing we have to think of is, we got to get out of bed. Serious, we've got to get out of bed. Many of us have lots of dreams and ideas and passion and desires, and we're laying in bed and we're praying to the Lord and we're reading our scripture and we're thinking of all these wonderful things we're going to do for the Lord, and then we get up and the buzzer rings and we slap it down and we get a shower and we go on in life, and then we forget all about all those dreams. Yes. And we go through normal life and we lay down again and we go sleep and we're go about to rest and we have all these dreams tomorrow. I will do something different tomorrow. But oftentimes, we need to, I remember an old saying, you need to get out of bed, put cold water on your face, thank God you're alive, and begin to do something now. Not tomorrow, but now. I think of a mathematician, George. He got out of bed late. In 1939, George Danzig enrolled in a graduate program in statistics in the University of California at Berkeley. He began to take a class. He was a professor, and the professor chalked two problems. They were unsolvable problems, and he chalked them onto the board in the class. George got out of bed and he got out late. So he rushed into the class and he started furiously writing down these problems. See, George thought that they were a problem he was supposed to solve. So he took these two problems, nobody told him different because he had missed that point. They were unsolvable problems. And so he went home and he furiously began to work on them, and in a few weeks he handed in the assignment and he thought, oh my goodness, I'm late. It's terrible. And the professor came rushing to his dormitory. And George said, I'm really sorry. He began to apologize and he says, I know it was overdue, but I just couldn't seem to get a few things, but I did get it. And the professor says, don't you understand? They are unsolvable problems. You have solved two problems that were never thought to be ever solvable. So as he moved on, his legacy goes on. He is a reason why you have airplanes that schedule their fleets. He's a reason why you have software design, web designs. His unsolvable problems that he solved is a reason why you have data analysis, security development, all came from his solving these problems. And he said later in his years, if someone had told me that those were two famous unsolvable problems, I probably wouldn't have even tried to solve them. Here's the thing is, how much do we get caught up in thinking the task is too large, the problems are too unsolvable? How could I ever make a difference? And we go out and do nothing. Trust in God to empower you to paddle when the river is a number five and no one survives. George Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. If you think you can't, you won't ask or seek or knock. You won't pray. You won't believe God for a miracle. That's why faith is unlearning every assumption save one, that God is able, not just able, but more than able. Not just more than able, but God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Now you're going to have to trust me on this. What does this mean? Let's just kind of look at that. Faith is allowing God to take you on a level five, where there is no turning back and nothing to hang on to but his skill. Lorena, I think you would. With that as a backdrop, I want us to go to John chapter 6. Because I think this is a famous, unsolvable statistical problem. The problem is that you have 5,000 men plus women and children. How are you going to feed them with two loaves and three fishes? Five loaves and two fishes. It's an unsolvable problem because we assume that 5 + 2 = 7, but it does not in God's kingdom. Not biblically, not in John 6, 5 + 2 = 5,000, remaining 12. You see, in God's kingdom, you add God in the equation. He takes 2 and 5 And he makes an amazing miracle happen. I like where it's going, so let's just focus on that. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 1. Sometimes after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" I don't know why he was picking on Philip. Philip was from Bethsaida, just a few miles from where it was, so possibly he would know where the nearest area was to eat. But it says in verse 6, he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. What is amazing is Jesus' ingeniousness to take one situation and make multiple understandings of it. It's not just one. We oftentimes look at the miracle, and that is important. We look at Jesus who did the miracle and how the people were impacted. But I want us to go a little bit deeper. We look at Philip. He wanted to test his faith. Before we move forward, let's look at this. I love this. Jesus already had the game plan, but he let Philip in on it. So let me stop you here. After the hurricane, there's a place of warning announcement that lets everyone know to watch the skies. I think there are moments in Scripture where God says this is a test. For the next week or month or year, we really don't know exactly how long it will be, but it's like a test. And we all say, wait a minute, tests? Why would we have tests? But let's think about it, even in our society. You have tests for license plates. Yeah, license and insurance, you have to driver's license, you have to go for a test. You can't get a degree in Canada without going through your tests. And so, tests of God's faith. He wanted to test Philip. And in that comes the testimony for Philip. When we're tested comes the testimony. You can't get the testimony without the test. So oftentimes we want the testimony without the test. He let Philip in because Philip should have known from history that Jesus, why don't you do what you did before? Why don't you create the miraculous miracle that you did before? Jesus was waiting for Philip to give him that test. They had already failed the math test of feeding the 4,000. They didn't get it. So in his mercy, this is his makeup test. And Philip says, how are we going to do that? How are we going to get from A to B? And he says, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? That's his response. The test came. And it's interesting, Philip doesn't ask Jesus to perform a miracle. He doesn't step out in faith and proclaim Jesus had the power to accomplish all that he, the impossible. It was a test that didn't make the grade for Philip at that moment. So attitude and heart can outweigh our advantages. The test wasn't the feeding of the multitude. The test was Philip to reach out to the one who could. Amen? So I'd like to share with you Shay and Tamale. They are two students at Yesu Opagla Bible College. Alan's going to meet them. They are two that have stepped out. Both of them. Shay is from Ghana, and he is a son of a Muslim father who died, and the oldest brother is the one who decides in Africa who gets what. And because Shay has chosen to become a Christian and follow Jesus, he's basically been removed out of the inheritance by the oldest son, who's left now to divide the inheritance. But his faith is so strong, and his commitment so enforced by the love of Jesus, he's willing to do anything to serve Jesus. Tamale, he is a son of a Muslim father who has now said, "I have no son, he's dead." And he lives to serve Christ in spite of it. Sometimes you have to slide down the obstacles first, head first. There are many of us who have faced obstacles, maybe not like these situations, but they have faced obstacles in life where you feel like you gotta go head first or you'll never be willing to go down that slide because the obstacles have been so tough and so difficult that you don't think you can ever make it any farther. So let's go focus on Philip and focus on the miracle of Jesus, which is correct, of this scripture. But I want us to go a little bit deeper with this particular area. 5,000 people followed Jesus. When I was praying about this scripture, I was thinking, what is it, Lord, that you were trying to say to us? And he reminded me, 5,000 people chose to follow me out into the wilderness to nowhere land, and they knew there was no food. They knew they had nothing to rely on, and I kept making them go farther and deeper into the wilderness where they had nothing of their own resources to hold on to, and they followed me. It doesn't say for those that chose not to follow him, because it doesn't mention that, but I'm sure some of them said, "This is crazy. Like, why can't the guy just stop and beside a town and be done with it?" You know, he kept following him. And they just, many of them probably just gave up, but 5,000 were crazy enough to follow the Savior out of nowhere land. And they took a risk. And was the miracle for the disciples? Was it a reward of their faith? 5,000 went with him. And he said, "I will not let them go hungry." So I know exactly what God wants to prove to you, or what you might need to prove to, I don't know what exactly what God wants to prove to you, or what you might need to prove to God, but I have a hunch. In fact, it's what I've been praying. Lord, I know there are people here, right here. They're on their proving ground. They're on their testing ground. The job they have right now with a difficult relationship, you can hang in there. Can you stay the faith? Is it your proving ground? Is it God that is calling you to make your stand and follow him to the wilderness like the 5,000 that went with them? With nothing to hang on to. That's missions. That's missions. Do you want to know what God is doing in your life right now? Some of you are in a season where he's humbling you. Some of you are in a place where God is testing you like Philip. Some of you are being driven out to wilderness where you've got nothing to hang on to but Jesus. And that's exactly what a missionary goes through. They're no different than you. Whether it's here or it's in Uganda And as Paul would know, whether it's in Nigeria, it makes no difference. The struggle is the same. Some might be challenged to give a small amount for the kingdom and think that is not enough. Here's the other situation when I prayerfully thought of this particular situation is, there's somebody involved in this that had faith up front, and it was the little boy. Nobody thinks of him. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it's all that little boy had. He had no idea that he was going to get food back. They said, give it to me. And he gave it to them, everything he had. He didn't know Jesus would multiply it. He had no idea. He was asked to give everything he cared for. He was asked, and Jesus and the disciples were going to, as far as he knew, were going to use it to feed themselves. A little boy, you would think that's all you could ever possibly get. Can you imagine going back, that little boy, to his family, and they say, where's my food? There. I'm sure it didn't go well for him. Small investment can turn out huge. Some of you, like that small boy, may be tempted to say, I'm not ready. I can't give it all. That's too much. In it, as a missionary heart, it's what you have to do to glorify him forever. You never know what that small amount can make a difference. And let's just watch that one video that I gave you.
A young 14-year-old boy walked an entire day to his uncle's village because he heard that an evangelist whose reputation from the year before had preceded him, and he walked the whole day to go and hear the gospel. And that day, Philip Adekiri found Jesus. What God had done with the seed that Don Schellenberg planted until last year. We didn't know that the evangelist that Philip always referred to where he got saved was Don Schellenberg. We didn't know it was a Canadian PAOC global worker who had come here in 1977. When he got to the little village of Chorkaly where he preached, there were about 3,000 to 5,000 people who heard the gospel that day. Little did they know that in that village, a 14-year-old boy would get saved who would start a movement that's beginning to bring transformation to the nation. Philip Adekiri was mentored by a variety of different Christian believers through the years, and in 1989 started an organization he called Talitha Kumi. They minister to the needs of community. That opens the door to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they do it boldly. They do it in confidence that God will take the seed and multiply it. They believe that God will heal the sick and deliver people out of bondage. And they believe that God will lift people out of poverty and bring them into a better life, because the gospel always brings uplift. Here's a man who planted a church in 1989, and by the end of 2013 had over 2,000 churches. All of their pastors are trained in simple methods of train and multiply. There have been over 80,000 baptisms, over 120,000 believers in what is a Muslim Hindu country.
believing in the next 5 years, I believe Lord is planting 4,700 house churches to different parts of this country, and we cover 64 districts in Bangladesh. Right now we are working 49 districts, and we believe within this time we cover. And in the next 5 years, I believe 250,000 people come forward to the Lord.
What's the percentage of Christians today?
Less than 1%.
So you have a big challenge before you.
This is a big challenge, but I depend to Him and His guidance. I cannot do anything. We need a revival in here.
Who could have imagined all this? That one sermon preached over 30 years ago birthed what is now called the Pentecostal Assemblies of Bangladesh, with over 2,350 communities of Jesus followers. This should be a reminder to us that we must not grow weary in planting the seed of the gospel, watering it, even in hard places where the gospel is not always watered.
Small investments can turn out to be huge, huge. This is just one of our PAOC videos, that a demonstration of what one missionary did with one sermon. Some of you, like this small boy, will be tempted to say, I'm not ready, or I don't want to give, or I have so little to give, or I have so much pressure in my life, it's hard to want to give. Don't back down from the sharks. There are always obstacles in our way. There is nobody that doesn't have obstacles in their way. There is nobody here that will stand and say that life hasn't dished them difficult trials ever. But we can make a difference. Someone else's life. When our unexpected problems or situations that take us away from what we really wanted to do, we need to stop and say, I'm not going to let the sharks keep taking away what Christ has called me to be and do. And that's to be a missionary to those around me that I would not normally intersect in their life. Here's what I'm getting at. God is going to prove Himself to you. He's going to do it. I'm going to stand on the promise, and Alan and I have stood on the promise and declare boldly, I can't tell you when, this week, this day, this month, but God is going to prove Himself to you. If you stand on the promise and you step out and become that missionary that He's called you to do, He will, like He did the 5,000 and that small little boy who gave it all, He will prove Himself to you. If you will step out and make that declaration of faith and stand firm. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for everyone to have a bite. I think there's going to be moments in your life when it doesn't add up. The will of God does not stand, does not add up. Philip does the calculation and says it doesn't add up. But God had a plan. We need to get stuck out of the situation of what all the plans around us or problems around us are stating to us. And like those 5,000 that followed Jesus and that small little boy that went out with him and gave him everything he had, we need to take it and look and say, it doesn't add up, but God will prove Himself to you. Let's look at Watoto. Gary and Marilyn Skinner. This is a community that we do support. We have We have children that we have been involved with. 11 million children die each year before their fifth birthday in Africa. 11 million. In Africa, HIV/AIDS epidemic has orphaned more than 14 million children. More than 20,000 children have been abducted in Uganda and forced to serve with child labor. And at the end of 2008, it was estimated that out of 31.3 million adults worldwide, around half are women. And by the age of 25, they're going to be dead, and who cares, for many of these children. And yet Gary and Marilyn Skinner, who were visiting a grandmother dying of AIDS with seven children depending on her to survive, became their support and helped those seven children. And in Uganda, out of those 2 million, Gary Watoto Child Care Ministry rescues 4,000 in the last 20 years, and right now they have 2,970. Is that amazing? One person has been able to do that. What could we all do if we would just step out? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There are plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When he had had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them, filled the baskets, the 5 barley loaves left over, and everybody had eaten. And that is, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come to the world. Jesus knows that they intended to come and make him king by force, and so he withdrew to the mountain. It shows us that we should never quit. Jesus understood they wanted a king. He had come for a mission. The world wants us to see you have a role in our society, to be a productive, rich, affluent, important person in our society. They say you should be a king. Don't worry about those, give their 50 bucks every once in a while to somebody who has AIDS and has a tsunami, that's fantastic. But don't get caught into all of that. That's not where it really is at. Isn't that what the world tells us all the time in the news and all the things that go on in our lives? They say, don't worry about all of that. You need to be focused on Canada and society and build up that beautiful home and get that resort over in Florida now. The deals are good and the price is hot. And what about your trip to Hawaii? And that is the king. Are they not telling us that over and over? But Jesus had a mission. Church, we have a mission. For Alan and I, God has blessed us. And I want you to understand this with all of my heart. Financially, we have been blessed. God has sustained us and given us all the funds that we need for this mission trip. So I'm not doing this call of missions for something for us. Now, some of you have the newsletter, and if you would like to give in for the care of the children who are in prison or for the college, fine. But that's not my purpose. My purpose is you are called. You are called. So don't ring the bell. In the Navy SEAL, students can quit any time. There's a brass bell in the center of the training compound. And if you decide you want out of the course, all you have to do is go up to it and ring it. Ring the bell, and you no longer have to wake up at 5. Ring the bell, and you no longer have to do the freezing cold swims. Ring the bell, and you no longer have to do the runs. Ring the bell, and you no longer have to do their obstacle courses. Ring the bell, and you no longer have to endure the hardships of training. Just ring the bell. Ring the bell, and you don't have to care about anybody else. Church, ring the bell. Ring the bell. You don't have to worry about trying to figure out what you are called to do for God. Ring the bell, and you won't have to go to Africa. Ring the bell, and you don't have to worry about your neighbor anymore. Ring the bell, and you can seek out what is important to you and forget about the others. Ring the bell. I'm calling you, church. Don't ring the bell. We all have to make a decision. Are we going to ring the bell? Or are we going to stay in the fight and reach out to somebody who you would never normally think to reach to and go out and be a missionary to the lost? Whether it be in Colombia, in Africa, Guyana, wherever it is. And you can do it in most amazing ways that can change people's lives. I just want to, we're going to show you a video of one of the missionaries we have that is coming here, Darren McCrae. And you know, according to the PAOC department in Toronto, our national district, he's doing an amazing work. So I think we're blessed that we have him as one of our missionaries. But there is a Korean millionaire investor in Bahrain. And you say to yourself, well, what can I do as a missionary? Well, this particular Korean, what he did is every day at 5 a.m, he would go down into this Arab, and remember, he's Korean, he's from Korea, he's a millionaire, and he is going there for business. Every day, 5 a.m., he would go out onto the streets, and he would pick up garbage. And he would pick up garbage every day for 14 years. And they wondered, what are you doing? And he said, the garbage makes our streets unclean and unhealthy for people, for their lives. And so I want to do what I need to do, is pick up garbage to make other people's lives safe. Don't limit yourself to what missions mean. God has got an amazing opportunity for you all. Right now, is there anybody here where God has placed an idea in your heart that you say, that is a mission for me? Anybody? So, here's the thing is, I know, Joseph, you are a missionary at heart. So when you go and have your barbecue, and the world is saying, be a king, remember that God has a mission for you. Church, if you will put him to the test, he will do amazing miracles wherever he calls you to. Amen? Let's watch Darren McCrae's video and then oh, we don't have it. Oh, that's too bad. So, let's pray for Darren McCrae. Is there something you would like to say, Pastor Sion, before he says he's good? All right, so we're going to close in prayer. Father, this is your heart. This is what Jesus came, is for a mission. And Lord, I just sense by your spirit that there's a deep anticipation by you of all the things that you are trying to reach out to us and say that you have a mission for us. And I pray that you will speak to everyone that's here. I know you want everyone to see and understand that they have a mission. They are called to be a missionary, to reach out to those they never normally reach. And I ask, God, that you will speak to their hearts, whether it be financial support, whether it be simple things that they would, that you are going to creatively give them to be able to reach out. I pray each one will prove you to be faithful and reach out in their lives and be a missionary for the lost. I ask, God, that you will bless them, that they will see the miracles beyond their wildest dreams, and that you will touch their hearts and minds, and they will have all the giftings of your Holy Spirit to fulfill the calling. And I pray, Lord, for Darren McCray and for what he's asking the churches to be partners with him. And I pray you will give us the amazing opportunity to partner with this missionary. And I ask, God, that you will be with us and speak this word deeply into our souls. In Jesus' name. Man, I guess that's the end of the show.